Welcome to APB, New York Chiefs, a service for New York's police executives. Now, Mr. Mark Spahn, Director of Research, Development, and Training for the New York State Association of Chiefs of Police.
There are few more vexing problems in criminal justice than how to deal with sex offenders who have served their sentence and return to the community, especially those who are no longer under parole supervision. Over the past several years, New York State has adopted a number of initiatives designed to monitor or restrict the activities of sex offenders, as well as civilly confine those who are unable to control themselves. All of them place new responsibilities on law enforcement. Today, we're talking with Beth Devane, Director of the Office of Sex Offender Management at the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services. DCJS maintains the Sex Offender Registry and monitors all aspects of sex offender management. Beth, welcome to APB.
Thank you, Mark.
Let's start from scratch. What's the purpose of the registry and how does it work?
In brief, the registry was created for public awareness so people could easily learn if there was a sex offender living in their neighborhood or, for example, if their babysitter had a conviction for a sex offense. Individuals convicted of a sex offense are assigned a risk level by the court and required to register. Those offenders who are a level 3, or what's known as high risk, or a level 2, which is known as moderate risk, are listed on the publicly available and searchable website. People can enter a name to search that public website. Level 1, or low risk offenders, are currently, by statute, not on the public website.
Beth, how can people find out if there are level 2 or level 3 sex offenders in their neighborhood?
Right now, Mark, the easiest way is to sign up for what's called New York Alert. This is a free service that allows people to sign up to receive alerts via email, text message, or fax whenever a level 2 or level 3 offender moves into or out of a community or location of interest to them. Information regarding how to sign up is on the DCJS homepage at www.criminaljustice.state.ny.us. Additionally, people can log into the registry online at the DCJS website or call DCJS at 1-800-262-3257.
Is there any way for the public to learn about level 1 offenders?
Yes, there's two ways, actually. First, anyone can call DCJS at the number I had given you before. Again, it's 1-800-262-3257 and provide us with a name and another identifier, such as an exact address or birth date, and then we can disclose whether that person is in the registry, even if that person is a level 1. So, while currently the legislature will not allow us to tell you if there are any level 1 sex offenders in your neighborhood via our website, if someone calls the 800 number and gives the correct information, we can search the registry and tell you whether, for example, John Doe, who is a level 1 sex offender and lives at 10 Main Street, is a registered sex offender. Additionally, law enforcement can disseminate information about sex offenders, including level 1 offenders, to entities with, quote, vulnerable populations related to the nature of the offense committed by such sex offender, unquote. In other words, if a level 1 sex offender had victimized a child, law enforcement could provide the local school with his name, approximate address, photograph, etc., and the school could then disseminate that information at its discretion.
Beth, how many sex offenders are registered in New York?
There are currently over 30,000 registered sex offenders. Approximately 7,600 of those are what is considered a level 3 high risk.
What are the requirements or restrictions?
Well, first of all, I should point out that only about 5,000 of the more than 30,000 sex offenders on the registry are currently on parole or probation supervision for a sex offense. The vast majority are not monitored, and we must rely on them to do what they're supposed to do, which is to register, verify their address with DCJS at least once a year, provide us with a recent photograph, provide us with their internet information, and let us know within 10 days of any change of address. Notably, level 3 offenders, high-risk offenders, and those considered sexual predators have to verify their address in person every 90 days with local law enforcement. Now, this may surprise you, but the compliance rate is actually very high. More than 75% of these offenders comply fully and completely on their own. About another 7% comply, but it might be a little late in verifying their address, but they do eventually comply. Offenders who don't comply can be charged with a felony, and we are not at all hesitant about chasing down those offenders. In fact, if someone doesn't verify their address, we ask police to get a warrant for their arrest. Now, more often than not, law enforcement verifies their address, and much more often than not, the offender is right where they were supposed to be, but for whatever reason, did not send in the address verification form.
Beth, are there any restrictions on where sex offenders can live or work?
Mark, the Sex Offender Registration Act itself does not restrict where a registered sex offender may live. However, if the offender is under parole or probation supervision, the conditions of that supervision may, for example, limit the offender from living within 1,000 feet of a school or other facility caring for children. Additionally, there are various local ordinances that restrict where sex offenders can live. As for employment, the Sex Offender Registration Act currently bars sex offenders from one and only vocation, working on a frozen dessert truck.
So wait a minute. Are you telling me that a sex offender can work in a school or a daycare center, but can't work on an ice cream truck?
Not exactly. While the only restriction in the sex offender law currently deals with frozen dessert trucks, there are provisions in other laws that would preclude registered sex offenders from certain jobs. For instance, anyone who works in a school district has to undergo a criminal background check, and the State Department of Education determines if someone with a criminal record is suitable for employment in a school.
Okay, so let's back up a second. If someone regularly monitors the registry, signs up for NY alerts, and makes it their business to know if there are any sex offenders in the vicinity, their families are pretty safe, right?
Well, I wish it was that easy, but unfortunately it's not. While the registry is a vital tool, we don't want to lull people into a false sense of security. Nothing takes the place of parental supervision and awareness. The fact is, the vast majority of new sex crimes are committed by someone who is not already in the registry. Further, child victims of sex crimes are almost always molested by someone they know, such as a neighbor, a teacher, a coach, a member of the clergy, a relative, a friend of the family. Pedophiles are devious and very adept at manipulating their way into a child's life.
That's troubling. So how do parents protect their kids?
Well, parents need to be, if not outright suspicious, then cautious about any adult wanting to spend a lot of time with their child. They need to be aware of behavioral changes in a child, such as age-inappropriate sexual behaviors or sexually suggestive comments. They need to be attuned if all of a sudden their child seems fearful of a particular person or situation.
That sounds difficult.
It is difficult. And what I tell parents is this: go with your gut. If a bunch of kids are having a sleepover at someone's house, for example, and for whatever reason you're leery of someone in that house, your child should stay home, even if it may be offensive to that host. The job of a parent is to protect their child, and if something just doesn't feel right to a parent, that is something the parent needs to trust.
Let's shift gears a bit. Beth, can a sex offender be cured?
Studies on the effectiveness of treatment are mixed, but New York State has a robust treatment program that is part of what is called civil management.
What do you mean by civil management?
Under a law that took effect in 2007, a sex offender who has completed his or her sentence but suffers from a mental abnormality that makes it likely they will reoffend can be confined in a mental institution or subject to what is called strict and intensive supervision, which is basically very intense parole supervision.
Who determines if a particular offender suffers from a mental abnormality?
Ultimately, a jury determines that. However, long before the issue ever gets to a jury, every sex offender getting out of prison is evaluated by mental health professionals. Those who are deemed to have a mental abnormality are referred to the Attorney General, who can then petition a court to civilly manage the individual. The individual is then entitled to a jury trial, and if the jury decides the person does have a mental abnormality and does need civil management, the judge determines whether to confine the offender in a mental institution or allow him to remain in the community but under very close supervision.
Since the law took effect, about how many people have been civilly confined?
Currently, there are about 140 people civilly confined and roughly 50 offenders on strict and intensive supervision.
If someone's placed on civil management, how long will they be confined or subject to strict and intensive supervision?
Well, it varies, depending on the offender's progress and treatment. In any case, anyone who is confined is reviewed annually, and if that annual review finds they are no longer dangerous and no longer in need of confinement, they could be released. Those placed on strict and intensive supervision can petition the court every 2 years to modify the conditions or get off CIST altogether.
I've been talking with Beth Devane, the Director of the Office of Sex Offender Management at DCJS. The DCJS website contains resources and information about sex offenders' responsibilities, the registry, and civil management. Go to criminaljustice.state.ny.us and click on the Sex Offenders tab. From there, you can search the public registry, view offender counts by county, and you can get information on sex offender relocation alerts through NY Alert. There's also information about the civil management process, including a flow chart and frequently asked questions. Again, go to the Sex Offenders tab at criminaljustice.state.ny.us.
Thanks for joining Mark Spahn for APB, New York Chiefs. If you have a suggestion for a future APB topic, call us at 518-355-3371 or email at apb@nychiefs.org.